What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
It's all shit. It's all doom. Get pumped here. America's gotten kind of whack, but it's not all damn it. Cause it's all doom. Get pumped here. I'm doing a political podcast.
Oh, it's a different rendition.
Gotta make it different every time. You gotta make it different every time.
It's all shit. It's all just dumb gay politics. America's gotten kind of whack, but we're not gonna let it go down like that, cause we got a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. We probably don't have all the facts, but we got opinions and we'll probably backtrack. That's why it's a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. Ooh, it's all shit. It's all shit. Ooh, it's all shit. It's all shit. Are we gonna die? I don't know. You're extreme. I am extreme. It's all shit. This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This shit is Trumpanus. T-R-U-M-P-A-N-A-N-A-S. What? I don't know. I don't even know.
Everybody, welcome to Dumb Gay Politics. I'm Julie.
And I'm Brandy.
And this is the podcast where we recap the week in politics like we're recapping the week in reality TV.
That's right.
That's correct.
And Laura Ingraham got her fucking lips injected, and I mean to go on Twitter and hear people talking shit about her.
It looked disgusting. Her mouth looked, you can tell, you can see it.
I think it's weird when Jesus-y people are vain.
Agreed. Good point.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, that vanity was, I mean, right. It's not, obviously, it's certainly one of the seven deadly sins or whatever with the thing from seven, right?
Like, yeah, vanity, like being vain. Yeah, gluttony. Yeah, yeah. Yes, you're right. You'd think that somebody who's very judgy and a moral troll and
exactly.
Something such as who outs their brother, who outed
a bunch of people.
Which, you know, then goes and gets their troll goblin lips injected.
What a tool.
What a fucking tool.
I urge everyone to go, all 14 of you, to go and look. If you don't know who Laura Ingraham is, she's on Fox News. She's gross. We've talked about her before. For whatever reason, it's on Julie's TV.
I was popping around while you were writing the thing, and then I was like, oh.
It has been interesting checking in with Fox News right now, because this particular week. Yeah.
Because they're really... holding firm. They're holding firm.
Are you
Jack, gonna... Jack and I, they're holding firm.
Were you going to yawn or burp or?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yawn, burp. We got some gifts.
It's called a yerp. Yes.
And Andione. What is it? Andy. We can't remember if it's Andione or Andione. We like to call her what's her butt. I did one time, but we love her. We could just say Andy because I think that's so cute.
Andy is cute.
My stripper name.
Oh, that's right. Your stripper name is Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So she's like the British love of our life. Mm-hmm. And she sent you a birthday gift.
Yes.
Which, and we did not open. Okay.
I'm waiting. I like to open presents. So I want to open it on my actual birthday.
We did open the Kleenex.
Gian, we opened the Kleenex. Okay.
So we opened the Kleenex and fucking loving it.
Yeah,
because that was for me.
And Brandy was so excited. She was like, oh, it's British Kleenex.
Yeah, and it's special British Kleenexia because it's like Kleenexia. Balsam, which means like a balm. I guess it means a balm. So they're balmy. Kleenexia. I used them. They're lovely. They're lovely.
That should be the name of a sci-fi show.
She sent a picture of her horse named Harry.
I mean, and you have a horse. That's crazy.
Well, we know that and has
rocking the stash.
Has the Kwan. Anne has the Kwan because she gave me the baller ass Obama book, which we know cost $9 gazillion and shipped that shit from fucking Great Britain.
Right.
Is it still called that ever?
I wonder. I don't know. Is it the UK? Is it GB? Is it Great Brit? Is it Britannia? I don't know.
Harry is fucking adorbs, and we're going to keep Harry in our drug den.
Someday when we get to travel to the GB, we want to come meet Harry.
She said,
I haven't touched a horse in seventh grade when Jenny Martinson's horse bit me. So I haven't touched a horse in seventh
grade.
Oh
my God, I can totally ride horses. I can't believe a horse bit you. That's everyone's biggest fear when they get around a horse with their with their big chompers.
Yeah.
To bite you on your finger?
Bite me on my hand. Yeah. It bite me on my hand. It bite me on my hand, Brandy. Hey, Brandy. Hey, bite me. I can't go near horses now. I can't go near horses now. Bite me on my hand. It bite my hand. It bite my hand, Brandy. It did. His name was Captain something. I can't remember.
Captain fucking asshole.
He was a Captain something.
Well, I love that she wrote on the back. She wrote, he looks like butter wouldn't melt, but he's the biggest arsehole on four legs. And that's why he's going in the drug den, because we love arseholes and we love him on four legs.
Yeah. I love that you can have an asshole horse and still keep him and know that he, you know, I mean, Nacho's an asshole.
Oh no. Every animal, everyone in this structure is an asshole. Okay. So, anyway, so, and I want you to know that she is not going to open your gifts until her B-Day, which is coming up, and then we'll have a big celebration on. And I was so happy someone sent wrapped beautiful gifts, because I am not going to be wrapping anything she gets. I'll be handing it over.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure my parents will. I feel like they already gave me a present. Oh, right. The jewelry box. My dad made me a jewelry box for all of my jewels.
That's right. Which I've probably given you the sum total of your jewels.
That's true. But I'm excited about the jewelry. If you're listening, Dad, thank you for the jewelry box. It is quite beautiful. He is very talented.
Yeah. He's my very dad talented.
Could 100 million. And guess whose
jewel is going to go in there when they're here? Mine. I'm going to be using that while I'm here.
I've already put the earrings my mom gave me, and I put a bracelet, leather strap in there.
Just like a dyke, two pieces of dyke leather. Mm-hmm. All right, let's keep it moving.
Okay.
We got a gift from, but we'll revisit yours, and, okay, so we got a gift from Joey O'Shea McIntosh, not to be confused, or to be confused with Joey McIntyre. Mm-hmm. Joey Mac, I mean, I love that already. That's a gift enough, the fact that Joey Mac is listening at all. He gave us a super sweet card that says, advice from a glacier. And then on the inside, he said, I hope you love this gay ass card. So what did he give us, man? Like,
he made paintings.
Yeah.
He painted paintings. And they're all, it's a series of little paintings that, well, in my opinion, should all go together.
Right.
One says Nacho. One says Sexo. With what we think is a church door. One says drugs, one silhouette of me and you, and one says DGP with tits.
And the cat dumpling.
Yes, and I'll put a picture of it on Patreon.
Yeah, he was laying and nuzzling into the gifts. Joey, you are a Patreon member, so you will see, Joey, that during when we recorded the Patreon, a dumpling was all in the gifts and in bracelets and anklets, and it was all homemade, and it was a sweet, beautiful, so sweet. Dumpling is...
Very
obsessed with the, we don't know what smell came from. We don't know if it's Joey Jizz, Joey Mac Jizz, what, but Dumpling's got a feeling for these gifts, and we really want to thank you. Thank you so, so much. The card was so sweet too.
Yes,
Julie
thank
completely
you so
remembers
much.
Meeting you.
Mm-hmm.
And I did want to say a sweet, funny, cute girl created a drinking game for the Patreon.
Oh.
Now, if y'all are not on the Patreon, where do they need to go? Meow, meow.
They need to go to www.patreon.com/dumbgaypolitics.
www.patreon.com/dumbgaypolitics.
Shouldn't have done that shot before.
It's I know. God, we did a shot of whiskey. It was so good. Besides the fact we've been drinking champagne all day and it's Monday, even though you'll be hearing this on Tuesday. So here's how the drinking game goes. I'm reading it here just so y'all will go over there. And joins, you can play. If Julie says full man, you drink. Let me say who created this. Catherine Mertz, Merz, on Twitter, at Catherine Mertz. Or I don't even know if that, I can't even tell what that says. Just, it's Catherine. Thank you, Catherine. Julie says full man, you drink once. If Brandy says bugs, you drink once. If Nacho pisses off Brandy, you drink twice. If Julie bumps a mic, drink twice. If either of them reference drugs or alcohol, drink once. If Brandy says, hi, mom, /Pam, or mentions her mom, drink once. If cousin Lee comes up, drink five. Drink five.
That is good.
So then she said, hope you girls approve, with that emoji where the lady's like, dink, you know.
Wow.
Then Lisa Maxwell added on and said, I love the rules. I want to add, every time Brandy talks about the time... What time are we at? We're over time, because I always check the time, which and I've said that
good
already.
One. Okay.
You drink. Every time Brandy calls Julie meow meow, every time Julie says, I can't, And whenever they say, are we recording? We're recording.
Those are good.
Isn't it so
cute?
Those
are good.
The drinking game really fucking got me on Twitter. That's good. I was like, literally, like, little stars were, like, going out of my eyes. I was like, that is so cute. I love it.
I loved the James Brown thing.
Oh, yeah. So, also on Patreon, Marco Alvarenga. Okay, Marco. I really like the name Marco. Mm-hmm. He left us a comment on Patreon, and he said, something about Julie's sneeze at 39:17 triggered me to think about James Brown, and I spent 10 minutes mixing them together. Okay? So then he puts a link to a SoundCloud thing, okay? So hopefully the sound is right. We play it. We're going to have to play it again so we can hear the sneeze again. I knew that I wouldn't. Who knew you were sneezing?
Bless you. Bless you. I got a
year. Again at the end. Marco, that
oh
is.
Oh my God.
Do we have the best?
That's great.
We have the best people that listen to the Patreon.
Oh God, that is funny.
The Woo! Best.
That is
Marco,
funny.
Marco, fucking way to kill the game on that one.
Killed the game. Thank you so much. That really made me laugh.
I played it for Julie earlier and she fell out. Fell out. She was dying. Well, we got through that in record time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's
drink.
Let's get to Eye of the Shitstorm.
You take some shit, put it up on the wall, check it out for a while. You take that shit up off of the wall, put it down on the floor in a glass bowl. You take some fuck, put it up on the wall where the shit used to be.
This was such a shitty fucking week. There were shitstorms on the border, shitstorms with Trump's shady-ass fake charity, Paul Manafort shitstorms, FBI report shitstorms. But before all those things, way back last Tuesday, Trump went to Singapore and made history when he sat down with Kim Jong-un.
Un. So there was a shit ton of buildup to this historic summit. And as we've mentioned on here before in the past, Republicans were dead set against any meeting with any dictators ever. They shamed Obama for saying during his campaign that he would meet with North Korea or Cuba or whoever. Mm. Yet here Republicans are romancing the light fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They really think their shit don't stink, and so does Trump.
Oh, after the meeting was over, he tweeted, "Just landed, a long trip, but everybody can now feel much safer than the day I took office. There is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea. Meeting with Kim Jong-un was an interesting and very positive experience. North Korea has great potential for the future." Huh. Well, everything's fine now. Everything's fine. North Korea is completely going to be cool now.
I mean, and they've got, hey, it's such a positive experience. So then he does an interview and he says, quote, "We got along very well. We had good chemistry." I don't know if that's supposed to be popular or politically correct to say, but we really did. We had good chemistry. And then he tries to make a joke that was about as funny as Roseanne dressed as Hitler pulling Jewish cookies out of an oven. And he said, "When Kim Jong-un speaks, his people sit up at attention. I want my people to do the same." Oh, like, har, har. We know you want to be a dictator, you tool.
I mean, it's crazy when he speaks. You know, when a cult leader speaks, people just stand up to attention. They just get up.
Oh, well,
it's
when
great.
When you'll get killed if you don't.
Exactly.
You do.
Oh, my God. I mean, the shit gets so deep with North Korea, too. I watched some thing where the guy explained, like, how the different... You're born... It's like, not only is just everyone, obviously, as we know, like, completely fucking culticized and you know, and can confinement, brainwashed.
Yeah, mind control.
But each... There's different levels of your... It's like there's different... what do they have in India?
Castes?
Yeah. There's different castes of the families that you're born into. And then they use the level of what you're at from what the family of which you're born to and how many levels away that you are from the great dear leader. And then, of course, if you're in the military and there's all this different shit, but then if like something happens and if you fuck up, like they come after your family. I mean, it's just like, it's literal insanity.
Yeah.
Crime, cult. It's like a mafia cult leaders. It's disgusting.
I mean, and I don't like, you keep saying cult, and I don't really like it because cults are kind of like, even though they're obviously hideous and you are mind controlled, you think going into it that it's voluntarily
there.
Well,
some people are born into it, like Scientology.
Okay, well,
but let's say
it's that, you know, these people are forced to do this.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So It's not really something they joined. It's like
that's true. They're born into it.
Yeah. It's awful. And Trump, and it's like nothing happened. Nothing. You took a nothing. Picture.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then he went and said he was going to stop the war games, and he immediately right. was like, we're going to stop, you know, testing and doing our shit in South Korea. And every single military person, all the way probably up to General Mad Dog Mattis, was like, we're not stopping yeah, doing yeah, that. What is yeah, he talking about? Yeah. And they didn't stop doing anything.
Right, of course.
They're like, we don't know what he's even talking about.
He said
about.
He's talented. He's a talented guy. He, I mean, who couldn't be talented at 26? I mean, he took over as leader. I mean, it takes a lot to be able to take over from your family brainwashing father to then, I mean, then you continue brainwashing. Like, what are you fucking talking about? It is the craziest. I thought it was the craziest thing I had heard, obviously, until oh. the rest of the shit from this week and everything else that's going on. But I cannot believe he said, does he just, I don't know if he just doesn't understand. I don't know if he just doesn't care. I don't know if it that Trump sees people from other countries as like beneath yeah. him or like
he
race.
He lacks empathy. Like he's, yeah. he's incapable of like yeah. humanizing the situations.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, he can humanize him once he meets him.
Right.
But then after that, he's not understanding like what these
genocide. Yeah. He doesn't understand murder. He doesn't understand famine or starving people. Torture. He doesn't understand any of it.
None of it.
It's insane.
If he did, we wouldn't be in this, you know, fucking predicament that we're in right now with the whole border situation. So,
right.
We just wanted to give you guys that. I mean, we don't
just
really
have... Just an update.
Have, yeah.
It's just an update.
Well, we're not going to not talk about... I mean, it was history. That will be in history books.
Yes.
No matter what happens here on out with Trump or North Korea, that was history. And right. we couldn't talk about it last week because it happened, of course, on Tuesday.
And it is a bummer because Kim Jong-un, if you do just look at him, he does look like a roly-poly little fat cute baby.
He's definitely getting a lot cuter and he's...
As we've said before.
Yeah, he's getting a lot...
He doesn't look
evil.
Softening
his look.
He doesn't look evil. He doesn't.
Now he looks certainly less evil now. At first I thought he did look evil, but now he doesn't. Okay, now it's time to tell the kids about something they may not have heard about, but is super fucking tragic. Okay.
This is the part of the show where we tell you about things in the news that you may have missed, but they're too tragic for us to ignore.
Okay, so this shit is so fucking tragic, and the fact that it isn't all over the news is so fucking tragic, but whatever. I guess the news doesn't think it's important that Bayer and Monsanto are merging. And you know what else is tragic? Bayer is a German company.
No!
Yes. We aren't all like that.
Maybe. We aren't all like that. That was a long time ago. That was my grandparents. I'm not like that. I love Jews now.
So
show me your papers.
It's a $66 billion deal. The European Union already approved it. It will create the world's biggest pesticide
oh
and
my
seed
God.
Monopoly.
Wow.
Okay? The hookup will confine 61% of global seeds and pesticide production in the hands of just three mega corporations, okay? That's like Dow and DuPont because they merged, and ChemChina, and Syngenta, and now Bayer Monsanto. So literally they will control like where, when, and by whom food is produced across the world.
That's fucked up.
Three or like four corporations, mega corporations.
Why is it that farmers or people can't just create, where do they get seeds from?
That's just a whole other ball of wax.
Okay.
But as for those of you guys that don't know, what I think is that Monsanto is who's in charge of genetically modifying food. So the thing with Monsanto is that they created the pesticide called Roundup, okay, for farmers. And you could use it in your house and stuff too, but farmers would use it as a pesticide for the foods.
Right.
So basically, whenever you eat organic, you're basically saying you want to eat food, vegetables and shit that's been grown that hasn't been sprayed with pesticide. Well, the thing with Roundup was that they then got in the business of genetically modifying food so that it could withstand being sprayed with a dick ton of Roundup and still grow. So they pretended they got it passed through Congress by saying that they were going to genetically modify corn so that they could feed, starving nations, which they never did. All they did was feed all cows with it. So they feed cows genetically modified corn. And if you don't know, cows aren't even supposed to eat corn. They feed farm-raised salmon genetically modified corn. I'm pretty sure we know salmon's not supposed to eat corn. Mm-hmm. And the and like I said, they go in, they genetically modify it so that it can withstand being doused with Roundup. If a farmer's like crop, if the like if a wind blows their crop like onto another farm, and that seed, that genetically modified seed, then goes onto that farm, then they can sue that other farmer and put them out of business. They don't want anyone to have anything but Monsanto seeds, and then they create the Roundup, so they get the money, so they're selling the pesticide too.
That is so fucking crazy.
So now so many people are woke to GMO mm-hmm. and this whole shit that I believe that part of the reason for the merger was also to rebrand so that people don't understand that.
Right.
So to get rid of the Monsanto name.
Right. So it'll just be Bayer and they won't even know.
Probably. But it's just like organic, like farmers and the people who create like organic farming supplies, like whether that be like, you know, pesticides that aren't, mm-hmm. you know, chemicals and whatever, mm-hmm. those people are not going to be able to compete at all. Like right. it's actually like straight up code red as far as,
they've got to be going to be doing some weird shit too, where they say stuff is organic and it's not going to be, and it's just going to be bullshit. And it's going to be lies. Yeah. And then they're going to create something to make the fact that they create a pesticide in order to grow food that withstands the pesticide.
Which, create food that withstands the pesticide.
Right. Which means then they just create more. I mean, they're literally creating a cycle of like life and death that is fucked up.
Yeah. And if you don't think that's why there's so many autoimmune babies are born, so many autoimmune disorders right yeah. now and more than ever. And yeah. it has a lot to do with that. Like this right. food is, you know, it's not natural and eating that much pesticide isn't natural.
Right. It's all toxic.
I mean? Yeah. It's like we're eating yeah. chemicals, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's, yeah. and when people are eating that while they're pregnant, it's like your baby comes out already toxic, you know, it's just whatever. I mean, but one thing I am glad about is besides the fact that I always love to say I don't have kids, so I don't have to worry about this shit, is that now, I guess Europe, we now know, because every time we go to Europe, we're always like, they don't have to deal with Monsanto and, you know, but apparently they do.
Because Bayer is Germany.
Yeah, they're going to, the European Union approved it, and it's going to be all GMOs and bullshit and fucking in Europe, too. That could be, like, one of the most tragic things I've heard this year, and I'm not
That's
kidding.
Very tragic.
Like, just.
That's beyond. I'm glad, you know what? I got to tell you something. We were born at the perfect time.
Perfect.
Because we got to have, we got, like, the 80s, we got the 90s, we got, like, some good shit, good movies, we had good food, we had good times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We had like, we tried it all, we did it all, and we are going to die before it gets where our skin's coming off.
And we're Anthony Bourdaining it, honey.
Yeah.
Same age, he did it too.
I don't need to be, I'm not interested in a violent end.
No.
But I'm certainly glad that, that I don't have kids to watch them get toxic cancer from the inside and also have their face fall off and the world blow up and be in a war and have earthquakes and everything fall apart.
Okay. Now it's time for Skew.
All right, now it's time for Brandy and I to ride our tiny bicicleta to Skew.
This is our segment called Time for Skew, where a live person teaches us something. And today we are talking to our professor for the day, Greg Guarino Jr. I love juniors.
I know, I love a junior. Love that. Second.
Greg Guarino the second.
The junior. Mm-hmm. Greg is one of our 14 listeners, and he's also a member of our Patreon, Franally.
That's right.
So we fucking love Greg.
Yeah, Greg is a straight up boo, and more importantly, he's an immigration lawyer in Houston, Texas. With all due to the rest of our listeners, I'm always surprised when professional people listen to this shit.
I am too.
It's like kind of weird.
It's surprising when I meet married straight couples who also listen.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird and it's amazing. So Greg left a comment on our Patreon page in regards to the shit show that's happening all along the southern border. If you're one of the lucky ones that's managed to avoid hearing this awful, awful news, this is the deal in a nutshell. Last week, Trump and his attorney general, Jeff Sessions, exacted a zero tolerance policy on people illegally crossing the border. Due to this policy, anyone who crosses the border with a child is then separated from that child so that the person is seen as breaking the law and that person can be detained.
So right now, there are almost 11,000 children being held in detention centers. And if the policy continues, there's going to be as many as 30,000 kids by the end of the summer. That's obviously utterly fucking appalling and incomprehensible. And we basically got an expert to break it all down.
Mm-hmm. We sure did. So without further motherfucking ado, let's welcome our professor for the day, Greg Guarino Jr.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
We're good. Ooh, look, you have fanfare going on in the background.
That's right. We're good. Thank you so much for coming on. We're going to start by reading. Julie's going to read your the post that you did on our Patreon page.
Yeah.
Because that's just where we're going to start from.
This is how we knew you were in the profess.
Okay, great.
Greg wrote, I'm an attorney for a big nonprofit, and we represent immigrant children in detention. My team of attorneys is on the front lines with these kids in the Houston shelters. It is absolutely inhumane. Most are under 6 years old and are inconsolable, constantly crying for their parents. We can't even get basic information from them. They do not know where their parents are even located, which could be in any detention center in the U.S. They are deporting the parents without even being able to notify their children who are still stuck in the shelter because kids cannot receive expedited removal. It is absolutely unconstitutional and a human rights violation. There is no law, quote, on the books that says to do this, as Sarah Huckabee Sanders claims. They are the ones using loopholes.
My first question is, have you seen that picture? It's like a woman. It's like basically she's from the waist down. It looks like she's kind of like up against a cop car, and then her little two-year-old is... It's like a two-year-old little girl standing next to her.
The big one, the viral one, where the kid's crying.
With the pink shoes.
Yes.
So what is where does the process, do you know, Greg, like at that point, what's going to happen to that woman? She's going to be taken somewhere and the kid's going to be taken somewhere else?
Right. So what happens is if they get picked up, typically they either get picked up at the border or even at a port of entry at the border. And so then they'll get picked up together, the mother and the child. And they get put in what are called, what the immigrant community calls hileras, because they're so freezing, it's like an ice box almost. Mm. And so they're stuck in there. And I don't know if you've seen lately the cages that they've been putting the children in and all the immigrants in. So they put them in there and they're with their parent at that time. And then what we've heard from the kids is that they'll just, even the parents as well, they just come in, the government just comes in and just announces one of their names and then just takes the child from them.
So, okay, just to even be even more basic. So at the port of entry or at any border, these people are what? They're like, they're literally crossing as if they've ran from, you know, they were in a truck, they were in what? A boat, they were in a truck, they walked there, they were, obviously they don't have visas, they don't have any, do they have passport? Like where are they coming from and what are they... How did they arrive there?
So the majority of them come from Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. And they either come by foot, by boat, or by train, or sometimes all three. And they cross the countries to get to the border. And most of them, they're presenting themselves to the border seeking asylum. That's where Sessions and, you know, the Trump administration is trying to say they're using these loopholes. Well, it's not a loophole. We are allowed as refugees to present yourself seeking asylum. That's what the protocol on refugees states, and that's what every other country in the globe states as well.
So basically, so that we understand, people come here, and rather than that, they're not hiding, they're not criminals, they've come from somewhere where they're being, if you're seeking asylum, that means that
you're in a dangerous situation,
so you come to like the border and you say, hello, I'm seeking asylum, or whatever.
Right.
And then you hope that they go, okay, let's process you in a normal manner, but what's happening here is, oh, okay, let's put you in a cage, and then we're going to take you and put you back to the place where you're being raped every day.
Right. So you seek asylum. That basically means that you are being persecuted against or you have a well-founded fear of being persecuted against on account of five different things, like your race, religion, or your nationality, or your political opinion, or you're a member of a social group. And
like being gay.
Right.
No.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. That definitely is one. And so
what are you hearing from a lot of these people that they are seeking asylum from?
Well, a lot of, so we have the contract in Houston to go to every single shelter. There's eight shelters here. And typically they're unaccompanied children. And so they have come here alone. They're seeking asylum on their own. They know their own stories. They've gone through like extreme trauma to get here, but at least they know why they're here and they know their own story.
Right.
And with this family separation, what's happening is they're ripping the kids from the family and then putting them into these shelters, calling them unaccompanied minors, even though they're really not, because they came with their parents.
Oh.
And so it's our job to go through and give each and every child a Know Your Rights presentation and also a legal screening. And the problem is these kids are all under 6 years old. I mean, they're extremely traumatized. They're extremely upset, screaming for their mother. They have no, like, usually if a kid is suffering through trauma and has a hard time opening up, you give them like a stuffed animal or some kind of toy to hold. And these kids are just screaming for their parents, and they don't even know why they came.
And do
so
you,
it's hard
do
to
you,
even get information.
Do you speak Spanish?
Yes, I do.
So, and I mean, the majority of them, I mean, do any of them speak English?
Most every single person does not speak English. And then there's also a lot of people from Guatemala that speak different dialects of different native languages.
Okay, so there's a, I guess they're, according to what the Trump administration is saying, or, you know, there was, what is the actual law that exists right now for an unaccompanied minor that, like, say a 16-year-old that comes across the border seeking asylum? Like, what would then happen to the 16-year-old that came alone?
Right. So the 16-year-old would then get put in the custody of DHS. So that's the little Hilera things, right, for like 3 days. And then it's required for them to be put into these shelters that I'm talking about.
Okay.
And so they're not getting put in the ICE detention centers.
Right.
Whereas a normal adult would be put in the ICE detention centers. They're put in these shelters. There's something called the Flores Settlement Agreement that talks about the requirements for the detention, release, and treatment of juveniles.
Okay.
So they're put in there, and then people like nonprofits like us or other private attorneys can come in, and we can represent them in their removal proceedings. So even though they're put in a shelter, their removal proceedings are started, right? So they're placed in proceedings to be deported. And then the government actually tries to reunify them with a parent or a family friend that's already here. It's just one of the rights as a child, as an unaccompanied child, that you get. You get to be released from an ORR, the Office of Refugee Resettlement custody. The government originally was trying to strip people of this status because they don't want to release them out, and they are trying to even say that the parents are smuggling them in because they're paying for the children to come here. The problem with this family separation is, so like my nonprofit is used to doing that, right? Getting the children released, or helping the released children and helping the people that are staying in the shelters. And so we can represent them in their immigration proceedings, whether they're in the shelter or released. But the problem is with these kids that are being separated, they're treating them differently, and they're not filing the charges against them to start their immigration proceedings. And then they also probably have nowhere to go because their parent that they came with is stuck in a detention center somewhere else, right?
Well, yeah,
so they're probably
going to
get thrown into the right,
to go?
Right. So they'll probably get thrown into the long-term foster care system. You know, and I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. Like, doing this cruel and inhumane, like, extremely harmful thing to these kids who are already traumatized, I mean, it's just terrible. And especially, you know, the Republicans, if they're such a party of family values, I can't believe that they would think that, you know, stripping a child away from their mother is somehow promoting family values.
So according to the Trump administration, the rule and the law about unaccompanied minors already existed, which means that they would go into these shelters. Then that's why those shelters are there. And then
right.
I guess there's another law that came from some kind of litigation, which I was hoping you knew, which is the reason that kids can't be detained with parents or with adults.
Right.
Is
yeah,
that, was that a rape
what
case?
I just talked about. It's the Flores settlement agreement. So that was done in 1997. And the administration is trying to say that's the loophole, but you know, under Obama, they either did family detention centers, which I'm not saying that's the best idea either, but at least he, you know, kept them together.
Yeah.
So he would put the mothers and the children together in a detention center, and then because a lot of times their cases have a lot to do with each other as well, you know,
right.
So.
Right.
An attorney can represent them because their claims are the same.
So because that did happen, Obama, I guess in 2014, a bunch of people sort of like fled from, I guess, Honduras. And so are you saying he didn't separate? Do you know what happened in 2014 or were you still in law school?
Yes. No. What he did is he made three extra family detention centers. There's two in Texas and then one in Pennsylvania. And so he kept the families together. He didn't separate them. And when we say families, typically that's a mom and their children. So typically
right.
before any of this,
no one needs a dad raping through the kids. No one needs that.
Right. So the dad would get taken to actual ICE detention center, but then they would have the mothers and the children, and they were what were called adults with children. And so they were kind of separated from the UACs that we're talking about. And so, I mean, it's a whole different type of case, really. Obama also, you know, he, in 2014, in November, he made certain priorities of trying to figure out, like, who should be deported. I mean, he actually deported a lot of people, but he also did a lot of good, right? So he,
right.
I
well,
mean,
some
he,
people could get deported.
Had,
well, yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah,
right.
Right.
I mean, like, if you rape my mom or something, of course, I want you out of here. Like, I'm not going to sit there and say that he's allowed to stay here, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the priorities were gang members, people convicted of felonies or aggravated felonies, and people involved with terrorist activity. And so then he also tried to get, like, lower on the priority list would be, like, you know, a mother who has four U.S. citizen children, but she's not documented, and, you know, she's fine. She's probably working, raising the kids, you know, and Obama didn't want to have to deal with those type of people, right?
Yeah,
right.
That makes sense. And, well,
right.
Actually, that person should be given citizenship. How
right,
about that? That's a thought. Okay, so Julie has a question about, ask him about the privatizing of the centers.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had read that these centers are owned by private, like, defense contracting companies or other kinds of companies. So they're given a contract from the government, so they're actually making money.
Is this like a Halliburton thing going on here? People are making money off these ghetto
ass. Definitely, yeah, they're making money because they're privatized. And so, you know, Congress doesn't, some people in Congress, they're probably privatized by these, you know, big corporations or whatever, and they don't want to deal with trying to get rid of them either because they don't want to lose the money from them. You know, they built these huge things and they're making money from them.
Ugh, that's so gross. I hope Walmart's not getting any money for that one
that's
in the Walmart.
That's, like,
right.
super gross.
So
how do they? Well, yeah. I want to know how they are. They even trying to, or is the point that that you're finding that they're not even trying to determine who's really seeking asylum and who's just popping over or whatever? Or you know what I mean? Like, how are they even?
Right, and that's the thing. They're not even. They're just blatantly doing away with the fact that you're allowed to seek asylum.
Right. So everyone
is
in the same boat.
You'll read like the Trump administration or the Republicans will say, oh, it's people doing these like loophole things. But it's actually the people that are, there's bazillions of cases where these separations of families are happening to people that are availing themselves to the government at the port of entry.
Right. What are the loopholes? I want to know, when they say loopholes, they use a lot of rhetoric and they go, well, the Democrats, they could just come to the table and we could get it done. Let's
right.
just get it done.
So they think that Flores settlement agreement, which talks about the detention and release and treatment of juveniles and how long you can keep a child in a detention center, how you have to treat them with medical care and school and stuff. They think that there's a part of that agreement that permits detaining families separately.
Could you take the government to court and be like, yeah, what you're doing is illegal? Or do you find that it's actually legal? Like, is it all interpretation?
I mean, it can be interpretation, but I mean, in my opinion, it definitely is illegal. And so, like, right now, the ACLU actually has a case in California where the U.S. District Judge Dana Sabrell, like, the government tried to throw out this case and try to get it dismissed. And it's specifically a case regarding the family separation. Mm-hmm. And that judge was like, no, this is definitely, like, brutal and offensive and does not comport with traditional notions of fair play and justice. And so, you know, that lawsuit is going to continue to go forward from the ACLU. So hopefully it works out.
If somebody came and was seeking asylum and they were given it, how long, what does asylum mean? And how long would they stay, like, you know, in the holding cell? And, like, how long, like, even with the situation now, what is the end game? Deporting these people, putting them back across the border? What? How long are they all going to be in there?
Right. So the adults and children are different. So the adults, if you're in the detention center, they try to kind of expedite your case and you try to get in front of a judge. And first, they will see if you have they'll do a credible fear interview and see if you actually have some sort of basis for asylum. And then you'll go on in front of an immigration judge and you can do your asylum case there. If it's a child, an unaccompanied alien child, they have kind of like two bites at the apple. They can go
there's
in front
alien
of,
children in the detention. Cool. What?
Which that's not the great, you know, term, but that's what the government calls them.
Right,
but,
no, I know. Sorry. Go ahead.
And so they can go in front of the asylum office, which is a little less adversarial, and they can try to get asylum there. And if that doesn't work, they get referred to an immigration judge, and then they can have another chance in the group immigration judge. That there's an issue with the backlog in the courts. So a lot of these kids, I mean, I have tons of kids whose asylum merits hearings aren't until like 2021 and 2022.
Oh my God.
So where are they supposed to live for 4 years?
Yeah, I know. Well, they either live, you know, in foster care or with someone who they're released to. And I think Sessions and Trump are really upset because about the asylum part, because if you have an asylum case pending for longer than like 150 days, you can get a work permit while you're doing that. And so I think they're really upset that these people are, you know, taking jobs. And so they can be working here while they, you know, try and win asylum.
Are those centers dangerous? Do you know if, like, a lot of crime goes on there, like, amongst, like, let's say, teenage boys or even with the adults?
I mean, they're pretty strictly run. So they try to, obviously, you know, don't have that going on. But, I mean, I've heard of a few times when things have gone on. But, you know, it's the government who runs them. So who knows if there's stuff that goes on that they just don't report.
There's definitely stuff that goes on. Where are the girls? Where are the girls? We keep seeing on the news they won't show girls. Yeah. They won't show babies. They don't know where the girls are. Are they all hooking?
So this is all happening in real time. Like, this is just a shit show everywhere. And so, we were told that there's going to be a new shelter in Houston where there's just girls and tender age children, as they say, but like 12 and under.
Tender and girls then, and tender children.
Yeah, pregnant women. And so, you know, people have already started to protest around here in Houston. But
what can people do before, you know, we let you go? Is there anything that people around the Houston area, I mean, we live in a, you know, obviously a border state and area, to help? I mean, is there a, you know, I guess we're not having the problems here because Honduras and I don't know why the port of entry, I guess, isn't near. I guess San Diego is having problems.
It's got to have to trickle out, though, because if there's 30,000 kids, there's no room. Yeah. They're going to all be spread around the country.
Most of the children have crossed, like, at the Texas border, but they're then in New Jersey already. Everywhere. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So,
well, what can people do? Like, I mean, you know, if like, I don't know. I think in my head, I have some weird like fantasy where it's like, if I was, you know, scared of a gang in Honduras and I brought my, you know, child here, I would at least be happy. Even if I ended up in LA and I didn't even know where the hell my kid was, I would hope that somebody would be there to foster my kid. And I would be happy that my kid wasn't at least in danger from the gang. Is there a way to like volunteer to foster children, or what can people do to help, if anything? I mean, you're a nonprofit. You guys are obviously helping.
Right. So there are, you know, long-term foster care facilities that are trying to help. Most of them are looking for donations. One basic thing that everyone can do is call their congressman, and y'all Senator Dianne Feinstein actually has a Keep Family Together's Act. And so I would urge everyone to call their congressman and tell them to support the Keep Families Together Act.
Dianne's running on that, honey. We see that commercial every day over here.
Maybe we can get her
And then, you know, you can find a nonprofit around your area. Most of them are, you know, faith-based, I guess, but there's also many different other ones. There's some national ones are Kids in Need of Defense, Catholic Charities.
It's neat that it's faith that Jesus likes immigrants, even though Jeff Sessions is using Jesus justify the whole thing.
And keeping families apart. It's very biblical.
Yeah, Sanders being like, well, frankly, it's a, you know, it's okay to abide by the law and the Bible. Yeah,
right.
He's ridiculous. So you can donate there. Those are all people who provide direct legal services to the children. You can also, if you're an attorney, you can volunteer. Every single big major city.
You're the only attorney that listens here, for sure. I mean, but that somebody might know that their dad might be an attorney.
I feel like every single you know group of gays has about 10 attorneys.
Oh, that's true.
That's
true. That is a good thing to do. Yeah, I mean, it's pro bono. I know that law term.
It's right. Pro bono. You can just volunteer pro bono, and all the organizations can teach you how to do it.
Well, we hope that some of those pro bono people go and do the bigger. I want to see some Aaron Brockovich type shit on this.
Greg, I mean, not to get too personal, but would you like to see open borders? I mean, ultimately, what should we be wanting here? When we want reform.
Well, Democrats
want it definitely needs to be reformed, but I think it needs to be reformed in a lawful manner. And I don't think that what the current administration is doing by releasing these policy memos, these executive orders, and going around what a normal, you know, the normal legal process would be to, you know, get regulations passed by notice and comment and get the House and the Senate to pass things that they can come together and figure out. You know, I mean, the problem is there's an issue with the 11 million people or whoever that are already here. Right. And then there's the issue with trying to stop the people coming, but you have to do it in a lawful manner. And right now the Republicans are not whatsoever, in my opinion, doing that like at all.
Well, Greg, you're a sweet angel, and
thank you for doing the pro bono work. No, is this your job?
He gets paid.
Oh, well, good for you.
I get paid, but it's pro bono services to the children. I get paid by the federal government, although I think Trump's about to
cut your shit off, probably.
Well, you better continue with the Patreon, Greg. I don't care if you lose your fucking job. Okay, so tell our other 13 listeners, because you're here on the phone, where they can find you on your social medias, just in case they ever need to sue someone or if they get put in a detention center in Houston, in the Houston area.
Sure. If you want any type of more immigration information, you can find me on Facebook, Greg, G-R-E-G, Guarino, G-U-A-R-I-N-O, Junior, J-R, period.
Good. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for doing that work and for informing us. And let's remember, keep families together. And we'll put a little list of the nonprofits that you told us about on the Patreon, I guess.
Yeah.
Or just on Instagram or whatever.
Awesome. I'm so grateful to talk to you guys. It's really awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. And good luck with everything. And if you have any updates, let us know.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Love you, Greg. You. See you on the Patreon.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, now it's time to celebrate Sarah.
What a night, what a city. Girl, your show is looking pretty. I'm trying to catch a cool one. Checking for a little fun. Sarah, oh, Sarah, honey, is that you?
Okay, so this is the part of the show where we take time to celebrate the White House Press Secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. We've only done this segment one other time, but the way things are going, this might be the last time because the bitch is at her wits motherfucking end. Grr.
Oh, grr. She has worries, grr. She has worries, grr.
She has worries, grr. I mean, she has major worries,
grr. So the first day that the shit hit the fan with the kids at the border, reporters went in at the White House press briefing and she cracked. There's only so much she can take before she turns into super cunt mom screaming at someone else's kid on the playground. And it happened. And it wasn't pretty, okay? And it wasn't fun. And not long afterward, Donald Trump implied she would probably be quitting soon. And I'm pretty sure it's quitting time. Sure. So let's play the clip. Okay. And then we'll check in with Sarah afterward and see if we can get any answers.
Come on, Sarah. You're a parent. Don't you have any empathy for what these people are going through? They have less than
Brian,
we do.
Guys,
Sarah, come on.
Settle down.
Seriously.
I'm trying to be serious, but I'm not going to have you yell out of turn. Jill, please call.
It's a law, and they have, these people have nothing.
Hey, Brian, I know you want to get some more TV time, but that's not what this is
about.
I want to recognize
you.
Go ahead, Jill.
Honestly, answer the question. It's a serious question. These people have nothing. They come to the border with nothing, and you throw children in cages. You're a parent. You're a parent of young children. Don't you have any empathy for what they go through?
Jill, go ahead.
And then there's this gem.
Children away from their mothers.
I'm not aware of the Attorney General's comments or what he would be referencing. I can say that it is very biblical to enforce the law. That is actually repeated a number of times throughout the Bible. However, this... hold on, Jim, if you'll let me finish. Again, I'm not going to comment on the attorney's specific comments that I haven't seen. That's not what I said, and I know it's hard for you to understand. Even short sentences, I guess, but and please don't take my words out of context, but the separation of illegal alien families is the product of the same legal loopholes that Democrats refuse to close, and these laws are the same that have been on the books for over a decade, and the president is simply enforcing them.
Policy to take children away from their parents.
It's a moral policy to follow and enforce the law.
When they come across the border, they're with their parents, and then suddenly they're pulled away from their parents. Why is the government doing this?
Because it's the law, and that's what the law states.
You guys don't have to do that.
It doesn't have to be the law, and the president has actually called on Democrats in Congress to fix those loopholes. The Democrats have failed to come to the table, failed to help this president close these loopholes and fix this problem. We don't want this to be a problem. The president has tried to address it a number of occasions. We've laid out a proposal, and Democrats simply refuse to do their job and fix the problem.
Yep, that's right. That's it.
Now, do you hate these reporters?
Next! Hang up! I hate them. I hate them all. I hate them all. I hate them all. They browbeat at me. They yell at me. They try and like be cute. They try and be smart. Oh, and I'm just not having it. Okay, next.
How do you feel about the border situation yourself?
I'm here to talk about the administration and what they think. How I feel doesn't matter because how I feel is my own feelings.
Feel bad because you're a mother?
What I feel is that the law has told us how to feel, okay? That this administration is abiding by the law. And if Democrats would get to the table and cross the aisle and get through the aisle and talk to other people and maybe look at the Bible, maybe people could get their job done and maybe some immigration reform could come to the table.
Okay, one last question. Are you going to quit soon?
There is no staff changes that the administration would like to say right now. Have I looked at working anywhere else on the planet? I might have. I am looking into working at in a basement with no TVs, no radio, no nothing. I'm also looking to drop my kids off at that detention center in Texas.
Okay, now it's time for So There's That. Okay, this is the part of the show where I give Julie the task of finding one positive thing that's happening in spite of or because of the current administration. She hates doing it, and slowly over time, they're evolving into Judge Julie doing so there's that. But we'll take it however we can get it. Okay, Meow Meow, what is your so there's that for this week?
You want to talk about Judge Julie doing it? That's right. Well, this week, thank you, Brandy. this week is by far, of the whole time that we've been doing the podcast, this was the hardest week to find a so there's that. And I don't know what's going to happen week to week now. I don't, okay? As long as kids and parents are being arrested and separated like they're in fucking Auschwitz, because you know what I have zero tolerance for? Is the stupid fucking stupid zero tolerance immigration policy, okay? That's what I have zero tolerance for, is zero tolerance. Because nothing in life you have zero tolerance for, and that is the truth. And I don't care who or what friend of ours disagrees or doesn't agree. I'm not saying any names. But I'm telling my opinion now, okay? We're not and do not represent the views of other people, whether or not they've been a guest on this show. And I also want to say, there's an art to listening. And I can definitely say across the board, from the top down to the bottom of the barrel like us, there's a lack of listening. And if you want to send your cunty, passive-aggressive, backstabbing, shit-stirring messages, just remember, we don't need your notes, babe. Okay?
We do not need your fucking
we
notes.
We don't need your notes. And all you're doing is poking a hornet's nest, and you will not get through to me. You will not get through to me! If you want to have a conversation or ask me a question, come correct. I'm happy to do it. But you will get nothing but cunt meow meow if you don't come correct. So there's that. Just kidding. There's more. Okay. I am horrified, embarrassed, and ashamed to be in a situation where I feel fully and utterly powerless. Of any issue and of anything we've discussed, lived through, or watched, I have to say this is by far the most grotesque, disgusting, shameful, and inhumane. No. Wait, I will say... Okay, not since driving through the heartland and being so fucking depressed by seeing what factory farming looks like, I am at a loss. I'm sorry. At least for 1 week, it would not be, in my opinion, right or respectful to shine a light on anything, except for the fact that there's prison camps all over this country filled with children and their parents seeking asylum who are being held or sent back to their respective countries. Apparently, they're all criminals. I mean, that one-year-old baby, like, guilty, bitch. Guilty. Okay? Get in prison. Go back to your country. The fact that people seeking asylum in the administration and law enforcement can't separate criminals from people who are trying to just stay alive or people trying to leave their shitty fucking country where they're being abused or can't find food or just can't stand being raped another day longer, a crime, more of a crime than actual raping here. American rape is less rape than, I guess, getting it from the country you live in and then trying to come here.
Or more of a crime than money laundering or using your charity as a fake way to... Okay,
that's right. Yeah. That is correct. That is right. Now that is the crime. Those aren't crimes. No. There's certainly not zero tolerance for rape in America or stealing people's money or money laundering or continually lying when you're the president of the United fucking States or the dictator of a country who repeatedly starves millions of people. That person is talented. That person is a nice person. However, if a baby from Mexico tries to come over, now that's a bad hombre. Go fuck yourself, okay? The hypocrisy is beyond the pale, and the lying is so blatant that there isn't one law enforcement officer who can do anything about it. Their hands are tied. There's a group of officers, however, arresting children and finding rationale and pride in literally ripping families apart. I'm sorry to pile on. However, yeah. If you ask a Nazi now, ask a Nazi now, they would just tell you. They're doing what they were told.
I was just doing what I was told. I didn't mean to do it. We are not
like
that.
No. It's like we're kind of coming full circle between Bayer and now this.
That's right. They're just following orders. All of these people, the entire administration, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Jeff Sessions, and every fucking law enforcement, ICE person, border patrol person, every one of them, every single one who is upholding this law, you are the criminal. You are a weak-minded follower loser. And I honestly don't feel like this country deserves a so there's that right now. I will, however, say that in all of this, because I've been wondering, where are the Democrats? Where are the Democrats? Where are the Democrats?
Where are the Democrats?
Where are the Democrats? Where's the characters? Where's Mickey?
Where's Goofy?
Who's trying? Where are the legislators? And obviously things change minute to minute to second, and as the clock ticks, we did just watch that Congress will now finally vote, possibly, maybe, next week.
Take your time.
Or they might wait, possibly, till November. We are living in a Twilight Zone episode, okay? Now...
Okay.
Okay. Now I will say that I did read one nice thing Okay? And so I'm gonna put it in this segment. Members of Congress.
please get to the so there's that, for God's sake.
Members of Congress from New York and New Jersey went to a detention center in New Jersey on Sunday. Seven Democrats, and of course they were Democrats, made the surprise Father's Day visit to the Elizabeth Contract Detention Facility in Elizabeth, New Jersey, where they were finally allowed in after more than an hour of wrangling with authorities. Quote, they said, "It was shameful what we heard inside," said Representative Hakeem Jeffries, who's a Democrat from Brooklyn. "There was a father who spoke about his young daughter being ripped away from him at 3 a.m. in the morning. This is the indecency of this administration. This is the child abuse that the Trump administration is perpetrating." The politician said they met with five men arrested at the southern border who are seeking asylum after fleeing violence at home. Two had their young children taken away from them, and one was separated from a seven-year-old brother. Representative Frank Pallone, a Democrat from New Jersey, said authorities wouldn't allow the members of Congress to bring cell phones, cameras, or pens into the facility. But he brought in a pen anyway, because he won't be told anyway, to write down some stories. And he couldn't, and he doesn't have any actual names. The men haven't been told where their children are. He said one thinks his five-year-old is in Michigan, but he's not sure. He's got on his knees and he begged, Pallone said. Another man believed his 12-year-old daughter is in a New York detention center. The sheer emotion was overwhelming, said Representative Gerald Nadler, a Democrat from New York. Nadler accused Trump of using blackmail to force Democrats to accept drastic cuts to legal immigration in order to stop the family separations. As we know, which is why this whole thing is going on, is so that Trump can get his stupid fucking wall and all that bullshit. Okay, anyway. Then, of course, the feckless cunt, Kirstjen Nielsen.
She's a fucking
feckless
asshole.
Feckless cunt.
And that's the stupid bitch Kirstjen that said John Nielsen. McCain is going to die soon.
That's right. She's a feckless fucking cunt. Said, of course, that's not, none of these are even laws. This isn't even happening. We don't even understand what you guys are talking about. Like, we're not ripping families apart and children are not being taken from their parents. She literally said that in a fucking press conference. Okay. Meanwhile, we all see that there's kids being taken away from family.
Okay? We just talked to Greg. We know the deal. She's
exactly.
We love you, Greg. So there's that is Greg, but get to it.
This is the one that really made me happy. Laura Bush, of all people. Laura.
Cigarette-loving Laura Bush.
She killed someone. She sure did. But here she is, just trying to do it. She compared what's going on now to the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. She said, "I live in a border state." She wrote in a guest column in the Washington Post, "I appreciate the need to enforce and protect our international boundaries. But this zero tolerance policy is cruel, it is immoral, and it breaks my heart." I want to just end by saying I have zero tolerance for this zero tolerance policy. I have zero tolerance for the hypocrisy and the lying this administration is doing. I have zero tolerance for law enforcement people who are easily swayed and justify their taste for violence and dominance by standing behind fake laws or even real laws they know are wrong. I have zero tolerance for anyone who shields themselves with the cloak of, "I'm just doing what I'm told." Every single politician right now is holding this hot potato, which is slowly filling with blood, and one of you motherfuckers better grow some cojones and get some change implemented, or 2018 will be remembered as the year that history has zero tolerance for America. So there's that. Well, that's it for this episode of Dumb Gay Politics.
Thank you guys for listening. If you haven't yet, please go on iTunes and leave us a review. We have 886 reviews, and Pinky LaDouche left us a bad one. So, I guess after Pinky heard the Mooch interview, that stupid motherfucker decided to go on and leave a 3-star review. And now I want you guys, anyone, even if you've already left one, go on again with a different email. And
to
leave,
push that one
yeah,
down.
Yeah, push. I don't want it to be the most recent one. Okay, read it.
You guys don't understand. We have people looking at us. We need them to see that the reviews are good. Fuck off, Pinky LaDouche. Okay, so, oh, right. Here's this asshole's review. "Used to enjoy this show. Their chemistry and writing merit a series. But between the weekly Scaramucci fangirling, really, and agreeing with the ill-informed Trumpian view on U.S.-Canada trade and tariffs, putting shaking head in hands, I can't anymore." Okay, well, bye.
Yeah, good riddance. But were we fangirling every week? Because I'm pretty sure we interviewed him and then we talked about it the following week.
That was it.
That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. And yeah. So, yeah. So, all right. So I'll give you 2 weeks of fangirls. Okay. Sort of.
Yeah.
Wasn't even...
I mean,
but
like,
that's a stretch. That's a reach.
The person listened, like, had been listening for a while, and for that to be the first thing they disagreed with, and then Tariff sent him over the edge. It's like, all right, like I said, good riddance. And we can't say we're sad to see you go. However, we are sad that you canceled your $3 Patreon pledge. I know that. Especially since that stupid bitch went on Patreon and said, you guys kissing Scaramucci's ass, that wasn't a good look. And we didn't even go off. On
I held
him
it
or her.
Back. I mean, I held it back.
All just to keep that $3, and it still didn't happen. So we need at least three of you to go on right. and sign up, www.patreon.com/dumbgaypolitics. You can hear a free hour podcast and see if you like it. We only need, we need three people now to pledge $1 an episode to make up for Pinky fucking off.
Pinky Tuscadero for yeah. fucking off. Well, I want to thank everyone who supported us during the Scaramucci Mooch time, because for the most part, we only got two, at least that I know of, two messages that were yeah. shitty, and
well,
everyone
even
else
one,
was
there
amazing.
There was a long one that person disagreed, but I don't know that they were being rude to us.
And it's fine. Disagree. Yeah. It's fine. We don't care if you disagree. You can disagree, but I don't. But again, we don't need your notes, and no. I don't need you to tell me what's a good look and what's a bad look, and also that you're leaving. And if you're going to leave, just fucking leave.
Yeah.
Why are you making an announcement about it?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear your announcement. You know what? That's my next thing I want to say is I don't want to hear your announcement.
Yeah.
You want to go? Go. You don't yeah. need to tell me.
People come and go the Patreon all the time. They
I don't live
off,
with you.
Pop back on.
I don't live yeah. with you. I'm not worried where you are. So, go.
I think renaming yourself Pinky isn't a good look. Okay? Okay? Because I'm pretty sure that's not your given name. Okay? do you want to promote any of your shows? No, we don't have time. And as always, it's been real and it's been fun.
But mostly it's been gay and dumb.
And LaDouchey.
LaDouchey. And let's not forget Killjoy, too. You know who you are.
How'd you do, I? See, you've met my faithful hand in hand. He's just a little brought down, because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung up by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you around and maybe play you a sign. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat wheel. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night?
Night.
Or maybe a bite.
Night.
I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Hey, I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual
Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.